Well, we turn into one verse in that section that we have just read from Matthew and chapter 27. That is verse 51. There we read, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." When the Lord Jesus Christ was dying, it pleased God to make it even clearer who the Savior was. And consequently, at that time, we are told, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, this veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Imagine if we had a curtain here in front of me, stretching to one side and the other. You would not be able to see me at all. The curtain would completely obscure your view with respect to what was on this side of the curtain. And that's how it was in connection with the tabernacle and the temple. There was the holy place, which we might think of as the general body of our building here. And there the priests would enter in order to perform their holy duties in connection with the sacrifices. But they would not be able to see in here, where I am this morning, because of the veil or the curtain. And in the temple in here would not be me, but it would be the table that was there of the showbread and the ark of the covenant of the Lord, in which were the commandments of God written on the two tables of stone. And on the top were the cherubim, these angelic figures. And the only person who would see that would be the high priest. And he would see it only once in the year, on the great day of atonement, when he entered from the holy place into the Holy of Holies, which was the presence of God on earth to his people. So this was, in the eyes of the people, and truly so, the most holy place on earth. An entrance into it was restricted. Only the high priest could go into the presence of God. And others were at a distance, as it were. And he went in to intercede, to pray for Israel on the basis of the shed blood. And all of this was a picture of heavenly things. That God is in heaven, and you and I, as sinners, cannot go into his presence. His presence would consume us because he is the Holy One. And we are so different from God in being sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ came with the purpose of reconciling sinners to God and God to sinners. And he would do that by being the sacrifice, giving himself in the place instead of sinners to make peace by the blood of his cross. Now it pleased God to give a most wonderful sign when the Savior died. And the sign that he gave had respect to this curtain or veil that shut off the true Holy of Holies. You could not go in there into the presence of God. The Lord Jesus Christ cried there with a loud voice, we're told, and gave up his spirit. It could not be taken from him by man. He gave it up on the behalf of sinners such as we. And then Matthew tells us that this veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And consequently, anybody who came into the holy place would be able to see what was in the Holy of Holies, because the veil served no more as an obstruction to being able to enter in to this most sacred place. Now, God is a God of signs. You might remember the incident of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram when they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. They said, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" They say this to Moses, the servant of the Lord. They say this to Aaron, the high priest of the Lord. And they are laying claim to be as holy as they are, and to be independent of their ministry, shall we say. There was a very clear sign given on that day by God himself. You perhaps remember what it was. There was a great earthquake kind of event, and the earth opened up where the protesters were and swallowed them up alive. And they were never seen again. It was a most solemn sign, reminding sinners that we cannot claim any holiness of ourselves or any entrance into the presence of God of ourselves. We cannot make ourselves independent of God's servant, of God's mediator, the one in between God and the people. You know, that was how Moses was presented to Israel, so that they would get some understanding of their utter dependence upon Jesus Christ, who was coming, in order to be able to enter into the presence of God. We're in exactly the same situation. Not one of us fit for the presence of God except through the mediatorial office of Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, you have got no hope of salvation or heaven. Trusting in Jesus Christ is the starting point of a living and happy relationship with God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was far, far more than Moses. Moses was the servant of the Lord, So was the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Savior also was the eternal Son of God. Writing in Hebrews in chapter 3, the apostle says, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, but let us not underestimate his dignity, for he was the eternal Son of God. So it's fitting that a sign should be given now that the Lord Jesus Christ has died. What is the significance of what he has done? What difference will it make? Well, we come to the temple, we come to the holy place, we come to the curtain that obstructs our view and entry into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, as it were, and what do we find? We find that this veil is torn from the top to the bottom, and the way is open into the Holy of Holies. You remember how the temple priests, particularly the high priests, had been enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. All through his ministry, they had been enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They challenged his authority, Matthew 21:23. They plotted to kill him, Matthew 26:3. They perverted the course of justice in order that Christ might effectively be murdered. He was unjustly put to death, Matthew 26:59. They abused Christ, and Matthew 26:67. And they actually mocked the suffering Savior as he atoned for sin, Matthew 27:41. Perhaps some of you who are here present this morning have mocked Jesus Christ. You've had harsh words to say about him. You did not understand the truth. It's so comforting to remember that one of those thieves there who had been mocking Christ alongside of others, as he saw the demeanor of Jesus of Nazareth and the way in which he dealt with this situation of his crucifixion, he came to a complete change of mind, didn't he, with regard to the Lord Jesus. And he says to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And there, while he was being crucified, this man was saved and came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful circumstance. Because left for a relatively short period of time, he would have died and he would have gone to everlasting damnation, wouldn't he? But there, as he was being crucified, alongside of the Savior, God worked in him his heart and gave to him a new heart to repent of sin and trust in this one next to him who was being crucified, just as he was. He doesn't see weakness anymore. But he sees this wonderful character, this holiness of this man. And he seeks to be remembered by the Savior. The tearing of the curtain in the temple of the Lord showed that God was still in control of the situation. Yes, even in the temple where there had been so much wickedness. You remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of his ministry, he cleansed the outer court of the temple because they were using it as a market. All of that had come back because we read that at the end of his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ did it again because they'd gone back. That's how much they thought of God and heavenly things. They would turn his house into a marketplace and make money out of it. And it challenges you and me as we come to the house of God this morning. We're not dependent upon fine buildings, as long as we have something serviceable. But as we come to the house of the Lord this morning, what is our disposition of soul? Are we mindful of the holiness of God and how unworthy we are for his presence? Are we aware of our utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who can save us from our sins? Are we looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith? Well, if you are, you've got cause to be rejoicing, even in this world of sin. And if you are not looking to Jesus, you have need to change the whole direction of your thinking and realize how utterly dependent you are to come to him and find joy and peace in believing. So the Savior, having died at the cross, his enemies no doubt thinking that's the end of him, and we're glad that that is the case. At that very time, we find that God shows the magnificence of the work of Christ by a sign in the temple that those who were there would not understand because they were so unspiritual. But for 15 centuries, this veil had signified exclusion from the presence of God. Only the high priest, and not without the sacrificial blood, could go into the Holy of Holies, and he could only do that once in the year. But now God has this great sign to indicate that this exclusion from the presence of God has been terminated by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the high priest couldn't go into the Holy of Holies without the blood of atonement. And this occurred after the Lord Jesus Christ died and demonstrated that what was needful for entrance into the true Holy of Holies had now been provided. And the rending of the veil was showing the abrogation, the setting aside of all of the ceremonial priesthood and all of the ceremonial ordinances and sacrifices. All that they signified had now been accomplished. And to know how that had been accomplished, you'd have to go to Calvary, where the eternal Son of God incarnate died there upon the cross in peace, understanding that the work was done. He was not still battling at this point in time where he gives up his spirit to his heavenly Father. He knows that the work has been accomplished. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. And now there is more work for him to do, but not on earth, but in heaven. And there he must go as the great high priest of unworthy sinners such as we, to officiate in the true and heavenly Holy of Holies, with the presentation not of the blood of bullocks and of goats, but of his own blood, as an absolutely sufficient sacrifice, a real and sufficient sacrifice for sin. The blood of the Savior himself, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. The institutions given through Moses had served their purpose, and there was to be no turning back. We're opposed to the idea of so-called Protestant churches where the ministers wear mass vestments and that kind of thing, as though there is some need for a continuing sacrifice. That's what the Mass is. The Roman Catholic Mass is a purported offering up of Christ again to God. An absolutely unnecessary thing. For Christ has given himself for our sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us unto God. So there had to be no turning back. The veil is torn. The way into the Holy of Holies is manifest. And God wasn't really looking for any of the ladies to come along and stitch up the curtain and hang it back up again. We're not going back to that. And that's what had been illustrated by the curtain being rent, the way into the true Holy of Holies being manifest, and the priestly functions associated with that rendered redundant. So Hebrews chapter 3, there we read, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." All that was signified by these Jewish ceremonies that had been given through God's servant Moses was really accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. So later in Hebrews 5, verse 5 and following, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was both our great high priest, and also he was the sacrifice, our sacrificial lamb. Again, from Hebrews, "Therefore such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." So when the Lord Jesus Christ died, reality replaced the types and shadows of the law, and that forever. No going back, no returning to these things of the temple, however much it had been used by God through all of that preparatory dispensation. No, now all was finished with. It was a pattern for instruction of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the reality. And the sacrificial lambs pointed to him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So again in Hebrews chapter 9 there, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now the practical consequence is plain. There must be no turning back to ceremonialism. We must be on the road going forwards to glory. But the picture is such a beautiful picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. With your mind's eye, you see there on that one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest with his priestly robes, the sacrifice is offered, and he is entering into the Holy of Holies with this blood of the sacrifice for acceptance with God. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest of his people, suffering here upon earth as the Lamb of God to pay the price of sin, having lain in the grave, rising again from the dead on the first day, ascending into heaven, that there he might continue his work as the representative of all those who trust in him. So in Hebrews there the apostle says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see what you have to do? You have to draw near. You have to come to God through Christ and Christ alone. And in coming to God through Christ and Christ alone, you're acknowledging Christ as the sacrificial lamb who paid the price of sin, and as the great high priest who alone can represent you in the presence of a holy God. And the apostle would have us to hold fast in the days when these truths are so derided and despised. But let us be unwavering, dear friends, for Christ has died and given himself, the just for the unjust. And let us have this consideration for one another, because we are in this together. We have that bond of fellowship as a result of a common interest in Christ, a repentance of sin, and a receiving of the Savior. Consider one another. And have in mind those words of the angels to the apostles as they stood there staring up into heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ had disappeared before their very eyes, as he, the risen Lord, went to his heavenly throne. And as they are gazing, the angels are instructing this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Are we ready? That's the question. Are we ready for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return in great power and glory to judge the living and the dead? Let us do what is needful to do and be looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.